Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 25th day of April, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Call, and I'm going to start off today with a story that I literally decided not to even bother with. But after further consideration, I realized this pretty well describes the state of the nation and the world today. So yeah, it's a great introduction. Following months of anticipatory leaks, as the summary from Zero Hedge, and of course the groping scandal, Gropegate, they call it, that nearly derailed the former VP's ambitions, creepy Joe Biden, who consistently polls near the top of a disgusting field of socialist Democrats, and there, folks, is your lesser of multiple evils, has now announced his plans to seek the 2020 nomination. And here's the reason why I did it, folks. Declaring that he's decided to run because, quote, the core values of this nation, our standing in the world, our very democracy, everything that's made America, America, is at stake, unquote. And obviously, he's too late. A, our core values have pretty well been destroyed by the likes of creepy Joe Biden. And B, anybody who's that incredibly ignorant of what form of government we were once supposed to have has no business claiming that what made America, America, is at stake. He's an idiot, or a liar, and arguably both. Although an honest jury would definitely have to lean toward the latter. But he almost deserves to be the Democrat frontrunner. He does have a couple of problems, though. He's a white male, and it would almost be the epitome of hypocrisy for them to nominate that guy to run, given their no longer hidden bigotry towards such. And, of course, when it comes to Me Too, his reputation suggests he's pretty well at the top of the groping heap. Right, Creepy Joe? But that, at least, puts him smack in the mainstream of the leftist sexual hypocrites. So at least when it comes to hypocrisy, you do have to admit, Creepy Uncle Joe's your man. Which leads me to suggest something, folks. Our form of government was supposed to be a republic, and if you remember the quote from Benjamin Franklin outside the Constitutional Convention, when he was asked, "What form of government have you given us, Dr. Franklin?" he replied, "A republic, madam, if you can keep it," unquote. And obviously he was right, and we haven't. Which leads me to the question, what do we have instead? No, it clearly isn't a democracy. The founders made darn sure that when we had a constitution, the idea was to erect every impediment they could think of to prevent that evil thing from coming about. From a bicameral house, to all kinds of supermajorities for various things, to a tripartite government sharing separate powers in a system of what's been called checks and balances. And while the idiot occasional cortex doesn't know what that means, perhaps because it comes right out of Isaiah chapter 33, where the creator of the universe and the author of that book that's at least no longer allowed on the floor of the house said, "I'm your king, I'm your judge, I'm your lawgiver." And James Madison later famously remarked that the accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, whether one, a few, or many, and regardless of how they got there, may, quote, justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. And when it came to the combination of those three powers, in his hands only could they be combined. So thus, a republic with separation of powers. But over the years, all kinds of executive branch unconstitutional agencies, with the power to be judge, jury, and executioner, and write their own laws, from the IRS to the EPA to the FDA, and of course the utterly unconstitutional BATF, have made a literal mockery of that concept. Certainly over the years, people have suggested that what we have instead now is an oligarchy, ruled by a few super-rich people who have the ability to do things like, you know, print money and be above the law. That one's tough to argue with. Same thing goes for a technocracy. Whether that means rule by HAL from 2001 A Space Odyssey, or the Terminator's Skynet, a bunch of self-appointed bureaucrats that think they know better than you how to run your lives because it's all scientific, you know, or even the gulag Facebook, YouTube, Amazon, Twitter, public-private technomind. In any case, I'm going to argue, based on what we've just been talking about, as well as most of the rest of the news this week, that what we really have is not yet, thankfully, a democracy. It's certainly no longer a republic, not a technocracy or even an oligarchy, but in fact, a hypocrisy. That's spelled H-Y-P-O-C-R-A-C-Y. Where, if you can imagine somebody saying something and doing the opposite, well, they're fit to rule. And ultimately, the technocracy aspect won't even allow others, those who don't buy into the lie, to speak, much less defend themselves from what's intended for them. Case in point. Actually, I guess there are a couple today. We'll start with a prominent conservative YouTuber, yeah, I know, named Steven Crowder, who has a series up dealing with, among other things, Build the Wall, Change My Mind. But in the last 24 hours, he says he's been demonetized, join the crowd, by the public-private platform. In a series of tweets, Crowder said, "In order to be able to continue making a living and employing 15 people, I've decided, as a result of his latest encounter with the socialists running that entity, to identify as a trans queer intersectional code specialist. Hey, YouTube, is this acceptable? Please advise." The point, he continued, is this. If YouTube demonetizes the Change My Mind series on the basis of it being a violation of guidelines, then there is no world in which conservatives are welcome. And he followed that up with what he called a genuine question. If YouTube considers Change My Mind to be a violation of their so-called guidelines, how then can conservatives even create content which is not a violation of their guidelines? I want to know, and I think the rest of us already do. The answer is simply, no, you can't. And let's be clear here, that doesn't mean you can't create it, folks, at least not yet. It just means that Big Brother's partners aren't going to allow you to profit by it. No, evil profits are only for the socialists. Related story, Michael Savage seems to have been shadow banned, I guess we'd have to say again, by Twitter, which has evidently been working hard to elevate the process to an art, and he's being very vocal about it. From Steve Watson at Prison Planet, and having seen it firsthand for quite a while, you'd think they would qualify as experts on the process. It all happened this time because Savage believes that Islamic terrorists may have been behind the Notre Dame blaze, and he's been vocal about it. Well, at least he tried. His reasoning, of course, is pretty clear. Terrorists attempted to set the cathedral on fire as recently as 2016, in addition to the fact, whether it's being reported widely or not, that hundreds of churches in France have been desecrated and, yes, burned in France over the past year. Here's one of his now verboten tweets. "Why do I say terrorists set Notre Dame ablaze? In 2016, three radical Islamists were caught in front of the cathedral with gas canisters in their car, arrested, tried, and sentenced just last week. Is the investigation of possible arson or terror to be over while the ashes are still smoldering? Lies and cover-up," he said. "Use common sense. This was terrorism." Trouble is, he found out that not many people were going to be allowed to see it. Once he expressed his opinion, Twitter stopped other users from seeing his posts. I guess you could say, "Achtung, there is an official narrative." How do you say that in occupied French? "And this isn't it," wrote one of his employees, Amanda Metzger, quote, "It became apparent Sunday after being temporarily blocked last week following the burning of Notre Dame that he may now join the rebels in the shadows. Some of his followers," she explained, "who used to receive notifications of his tweets on their smartphones, are no longer getting them." She also noted that Savage, quote, "suddenly found his Periscope live broadcast was limited in the number of viewers." Oh, and guess who owns Periscope? Extra points if you said public-private partner, Twitter. And continues the piece from an InfoWars employee. "That site, owned by Alex Jones, is still permanently banned from Twitter. And, of course, in this case, no explanation was ever given other than the vague suggestion that Jones somehow violated their terms and conditions." And it's still one more bit of related news, concludes the piece. It appears Twitter is now planning to allow, maybe even encourage, users to report tweets that they believe are an attempt to mislead people at election time. In other words, get them to vote for somebody other than the designated socialist. What could possibly go wrong? Well, here's a hint. In a blog post regarding this latest totalitarian move, Twitter declared, and try to keep your chortling under control, quote, "Any attempts to undermine the process of registering to vote or engaging in the electoral process is contrary to our company's core values." And hey, doesn't that lend new meaning to the term rotten to the core? Which brings me to this piece, via a number of Waystream sources. President Trump sat down for a meeting with the CEO of that public-private partner, Twitter. We're talking about Jack Dorsey on Tuesday, just hours after he accused the company, say the stories, of playing political games and messing with his follower count, a.k.a. more shadow banning. Trump welcomed Dorsey to the Oval Office, shared a positive message and photo of the chat on Twitter, saying, Great meeting this afternoon at the White House with Jack from Twitter. Lots of subject discussed regarding their platform and the world of social media in general. Wrote the man who, arguably, they don't want to be president, in spite of the high-profile attention he's brought them. Looking forward, he said, to keeping an open dialogue. The WAPO, though, reported that Trump's meeting with Dorsey focused mainly on his gripe that Twitter had, quote, quietly and deliberately removed some of his followers. And he also reportedly told Dorsey he'd heard similar complaints from fellow conservatives. Yeah, folks, lots and lots and lots of them, hopefully, because there certainly are lots who've seen it. Which brings me to, well, let's just say some alternative spin from the other elements of the Ministries of Truth. Like this headline from Completely Negligent News and their business department. I wonder if the Soviets had a Pravda business section. Anyway, it says, President Trump met with Chief Executive Jack Dorsey on Tuesday, hours after Trump erroneously accused the social media company of discriminatory, and they put it in quotes, behavior toward conservative users. Nice of them to put that word erroneously in there, in spite of the facts, isn't it? And here's how the Never Believe Communist News tried to propagandize the same story in there, not that different way. Yeah, it begins, Trump met with Twitter CEO Dorsey on Tuesday just hours after claiming the company had treated him poorly. And then they go on to say this, Trump has been both a prolific user of Twitter and a vocal critic, suggesting at times, and without evidence, good grief, that Silicon Valley's socialist, I put that in there, media giants have a bias against conservatives. I've already led up with stories just today that prove how bald-faced of a lie that is. And the only way you could actually ascertain whether that's true or not is by looking at the facts, which obviously none of the public-private partners want to allow you to do. For his part, and at least the socialists do report on this, Trump wrote that Twitter was very discriminatory and claimed that the platform made it harder for people to sign on. And in a subsequent tweet, Trump claimed his follower count would be higher if Twitter weren't, quote, playing their political games, adding, and listen to this, folks, no wonder Congress wants to get involved, and they should, unquote. Well, let me tell you instead what all kinds of Twitter users, including the current, the former, and for some of us, the never, have been suggesting for quite a while. Why doesn't the president make a high-profile exit from the socialist platform and pick one of the much smaller, not nearly so subsidized, but certainly in need of his help, alternative platforms that don't do the Big Brother-style censorship? No doubt almost all of his followers, including a whole bunch that have probably been shadow banned and didn't even know it, would follow him. That even goes for the leftist press that basically would still want to find out what he's saying, even if they don't like the non-socialist platform. And overnight, he'd literally put an alternative to Big Brother's bird calls right there on the map. Talk about a bully pulpit. And the fact that he hasn't, folks, when it's so painfully obvious at this point, almost strikes me as a sellout. He doesn't need an act of the do-nothing Congress to do that. So yeah, what the heck is he waiting for? So let's talk next about just one of the many topics that is verboten in the hypocrisy and will almost certainly get you banned from the public-private partners, not so public square. One of the many gods of the almighty state, I guess you could call her an anti-fertility goddess, is vaccination. This story comes from the Free Thought Project and says the USS Fort McHenry, a dock landing ship, has been stuck at sea for months, quarantined, along with hundreds of Marines and sailors aboard, after dozens of crew members contracted the once common childhood but now dreaded disease, mumps. The ship remains quarantined, it says, as officials with the Navy and the Marine Corps Public Health Center conduct an in-depth epidemiological investigation. Cases, says the story, began to surface in December after the ship departed Mayport Naval Station in Florida, and although that was the last time at port, they still claim the point of origin has not yet been determined, said the Fifth Fleet. And here's the problem, folks. While the Navy BUMED, or Bureau of Medicine and Surgery, says that the cases are probably of mumps, they're not going to tell you one very important fact. All U.S. military personnel and 100% of those on that ship were vaccinated for the dreaded disease. So what the heck is going on here? Well, the clinical term is called shedding. Somebody that was vaccinated probably passed it along to other people that were vaccinated, and a whole bunch of people that were vaccinated got it. And now you know why you're not hearing about it. Even after booster vaccines were administered, continues the story, more cases of the vaccine-preventable virus still appeared. Those of us, however, who got the childhood disease during childhood might remember that the immunity you get after that is for life. No boosters required. Oh, and as one wag noted, so much for herd immunity. To be clear, says the Free Thought Project, well down into the piece, no one here is advocating anti-vaxxer information. No, they wouldn't want to be banned after all. TFTP, they say, is simply questioning the government forcing medical procedures on citizens without their consent, referring to the fact that the People's Republic of Totalitarian New York says, Achtung, if we decide we want to inject you, we could care less about my body, my choice. Bend over and submit. Or else. And the or else is currently $1,000, but don't worry. They've no doubt got nastier stuff already in plan. And as the Free Thought Project does report, families who've already been caught trying to refuse the vaccine are now being threatened with $2,000 fines if they don't show up for their slam dunk hearings. And given that these threats are always backed up with the promise of violence, you know what happens to people who resist. And given that we already see so many reports of trigger-happy cops being willing to beat or even shoot people who haven't even refused to bend over for a vaccination, it's pretty clear where all this leads. Here are a string of headlines from Matt Agarest over just the last few days to emphasize that point. Watch, says the first one, cops walk up to an innocent family's home and shoot the dad through the door. No jail for them. On the night of February 17th last year, Walker Sigler, his wife Kate, and their children were asleep in their home doing nothing wrong when two Lynchburg, Virginia police officers came up to the door. Sigler woke to the noise, and the officers opened fire through the closed door and shot the man, shattering his leg. Because two trigger-happy cops, it says, were scared of their own shadows. In March, they pled no contest for the four shots. On three felony counts of reckless handling of a firearm resulting in serious bodily injury, unlawful wounding, and unlawful shooting at an occupied domicile, and were sentenced for that crime to 100 hours of community service. Who do they think they are? Jesse Smollett? Here's another. Graphic video shows two cops savagely beating a woman with a baton in their fists over a traffic stop. Well, gee, we've heard that before, but not to worry. The Tuscaloosa, Alabama PD is conducting an internal investigation. Meanwhile, the woman who took the video, and understandably wants to remain anonymous, told the local TV station she was grateful the woman in question wasn't killed that day, saying, basically, hey, just submit. It'll only get worse. More video from Little Rock, Arkansas. It's called Deeply Disturbing, was released last month, showing a cop named Charles Stark jumping on the hood of a man's car and dumping a full magazine, 15 rounds into him, killing him instantly. The officer, sick, suspended with pay, does have a history of misconduct, having been suspended 10 times since 2015. Prosecutors say they reviewed the case and determined he was justified. Although multiple videos that have been released seem to show the use of deadly force in the situation was entirely unjustified, while many other details in the case, including the background, have simply not been released. From New Haven, Connecticut, citizens there have been protesting every day since last Tuesday after police blocked an innocent couple in their vehicle and then opened fire on them. The officers, responding to a robbery in a nearby gas station, mistook the innocent couple for the bad guys, jumped out of their vehicles, and began shooting. But after they shot Stephanie Washington, age 22, they realized the couple was unarmed and hadn't done anything wrong. They later tried to justify the shooting with some of the usual claims, from movements of the occupants to weaponry, all of which video subsequently showed to be absolutely wrong. Said local coverage, the officers' actions were so excessive that one of them even managed to shoot the other. And as the mayor put it in a subsequent understatement, in which he did at least call the shooting shocking, haunting, quote, we must do better. And from Chattanooga, Tennessee, being innocent is no defense against bad cops. A fellow named Nate Carter had done nothing wrong, harmed no one, wasn't suspected of a crime, and was merely walking out to pick up his mail when he was shot in the back with a taser and falsely arrested. Chattanooga police officer Cody Thomas, who did this, says the piece, knew he was innocent, and that the guy he'd been called to the scene to look for was somebody else entirely, but still moved to oppress him, at one point saying, come here right now, I'll shoot your f***ing dog. "Shoot my dog," said the man. "You can't even come in my yard." At which point, the cop showed otherwise, pulled out his taser, shot the innocent man in the back, and then pulled out his gun and assaulted Carter with a deadly weapon. When Thomas called for backup, he bragged to one of the responding officers that he, quote, "just popped his taser cherry." After his fellow public servants in blue threw the man in the back of the police car, Thomas's fellow officers asked him what he's charging Carter with, and the reply, quote, "resisting arrest and disorderly conduct." But then after he made up those charges, he asked his fellow cops if, quote, "you guys can help me make up anything else." And this is at least kind of good news. After all the facts of the case came out, the charges against him were dropped. Not exactly what you saw with Jussie Smollett, and now the man is suing. Meanwhile, the CPD in a case summary found that Officer Thomas had, quote, "used force outside the department's standard guidelines, submitted official reports containing false and misleading information, showed willful indifference to the complaints of a prisoner, and displayed behavior and used language during his interaction with citizenry that was unnecessary and unprofessional." For all of those violations, Officer Thomas received a paid 2-week vacation. I guess it could have been worse, folks. They might have moved him to Washington. Then went back to regular duty. But rest assured, he will have cost the department millions in lawsuits by the time his career in public service is over. Somehow, folks, your host is going to contend again that there is a common thread to all of these stories today in the nation whose official form of government has now become a hypocrisy. And that's kind of the opposite, in just about every way you can think of what the Bible describes as the rule of law. Justice, justice you shall pursue. And basically, one law for everybody. Don't favor the poor man, or the rich, or the Hollywood hypocrite, or the leftist politician who can get away literally with murder, not to mention treason, or even the oath-breaking police officer, sick, who can carry guns, break down doors, shoot dogs and people with impunity, and then lie about it afterwards, just like they were running for office or something. And if it's that bad even before they get to shoot somebody for refusing the needle, or giving up the guns that peons are no longer allowed to have, imagine what's coming. So we'll close with a story that pretty much demonstrates that our very republic, everything that has made America America, really is at stake. This comes from Breitbart. Among others, President Trump's Department of Achtung Homeland Security, good grief, has released about 7,000 illegal border crossers into the interior of the United States over just the last 5 days. Yeah, you know it. It's called catch and release, and it's now averaging about 1,400 new criminals each and every day. Border communities are declaring states of emergency, while federal immigration officials are busting the new lawbreakers, basically northward, with the promise that they'll eventually show up for immigration and asylum hearings, sometimes years later.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Even though everybody knows that the overwhelming majority of them will never be reported, no matter what, from the country once they manage to escape into the interior. So by year end, conclude the projections, you can look for about 1 million more, about 500,000 each, caught and released and or undetected, quite a few carrying new and varied diseases, many of them no doubt potential terrorists, but without question, lawbreakers all, and burdens on the socialist state. Yeah, folks, there's a hell of a lot more at stake here than our very democracy. And if the traitors, liars, and lawbreakers keep getting their way, it's already too late. So I'll close with this, admittedly also disgusting story. The headline is kind of disgusting, too, along with the spin. It comes from the Daily Mail under this misleading headline. Evangelical preacher, son of the late Billy Graham, Franklin, tells Mayor Pete Buttplug to repent for being gay after the latter said, "God has no political party." Well, you have to read down into it to see that Graham does get it right. Whether or not God has a political party, he does have a book. Whether or not Big Brother wants you to know that, much less hear about it. As Franklin Graham put it, no, God doesn't have a political party, but he does have commandments, laws, and standards he gives us to live by. Unquote. Maybe the sodomist mayor should read what Yeshua said to those who break even the least of his commandments and then try to teach others to do so. We should know better, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.